with your
family. I mean, I won.
Members from the department, members of parliament, you're all welcome. We'll commence with the input from the society, which is supposed to attend about a week ago. And for the record, I'd like to say that we have not had the input. This is committee section. I'm not sure about the department from NEDLAC. I have been under the impression that we have a written contribution from NEDLAC. Today, up to this moment, there's no such contribution. That is the right of the committee section. COSATU's contribution has been circulated, and also for the record, I would like to say that all stakeholders, we normally advertise when we are going to have public hearings, and there are dates for submission for written or oral. I would request all stakeholders, let us respect those time frames that we put in place to make our work easier when we have to discuss. If we have your written submission earlier, it empowers everybody to go through them, to read them, to have a more meaningful engagement and exchange with presenters. If we receive the submissions very late, it does not assist us, nor does it assist the presenter. So I would like us to be mindful of this. Having said that, we are in your able hands,
Professor. Just before the chat comes in, I just want to say I concur with your sentiment, but also I just want to push you for the record from the I've seen a problem for the staff and how they arrange the logistics. I mean, for the last 3 weeks, we've been having public hearings, and they cramped us in little rooms like you can't believe. And the issue should be sensitive about the fact that it's not a normal committee meeting. Public hearings there have normally more people. And yet they just, it seems to me that they just don't seem to care. But I believe they can adequately make arrangements so that we have, you know, comfortable and suitable venues. Thank you.
Congratulations, we take note of that. We have a suit to the committee section. Our other meeting, this is why we had a proper good of faith. So I thought that they would have blocked bookings for our entire public hearing. So why we are in this particular venue today, I'm not so sure. Very intimate, too intimate. So we'll have to check on the air conditioner as Prof. Churok has indicated, sure that people don't want to. But having said that, let's commence.
Thank you. My name is Christina and I'm from the Foundation. And I'd like to thank the committee for the presentation and apologies for the late commissioners for the vessel forming some signal changes, including the number of which I'm hoping to be able to extend the moving to the submission itself, our interest in hunting for VCs on par virtually with protection of the rights provided by regulations in terms of labor legislation. But simply because whatever rights that are provided for labor legislation is something that the worker and have serious implications that can be undermined. More broadly than that, countries operate in for the state court can actually entrench that, or we can say the governmental law. And our concern has been the fact that historically, the royal pocket in the country and the common gen law has been to focus on limited notions of deregulation and decriminalization at the expense of broader state technology. In particular, recent times there's been a greater emphasis on what's called supervised recognized counties, which is a full approach in counting mechanism on the social, economic, and environmental structures related to the conduct of business. And really what this means is that the conducting of business, or the operation of business, cannot be limited purely to serving capital gains. What it actually focuses on is investing for the social and business rights. We have been considering the goals we repeated when we host numerous corporate scandals on an international level, as well as recently we've had our own debacle around the presidential and financial level, as well as in relation to violations of constitutional regulations and violent practices in the base sector and non-physical. So when you look at the impact of what has happened in relation to those scandals and social issues and people and kind of life saving, you have to weigh this up in a moral and ethical level against arguments for deregulation. And any arguments that say that deregulation is just a way that the whole notion that the business needs to be deregulated is not a moral argument for some people. There needs to be a framework that actually takes something accountable to both corporate production and both to ensure that the profit for the company to be able to do. We also think so that in line with the deregulation argument, that there's over emphasis on the role of what's been happening to say the company of ship against corporate production rather than relying on the legislation itself. And the idea is that auditing companies are supposed to be inherently independent and without bias, which we found very interesting in the Soyuz case, the Alpha Institute, and the Enron case, the economic Soyuz case. If you look at the way auditing companies operate, currently in a local context, they enjoy a very close relationship with businesses. In fact, in many cases, we find that where there's been scandals, violations that have been where auditing companies have also assisted in the coming up of those cases. And auditing companies provide various additional functions and services beyond auditing. For example, more auditing companies are helping facilitating the structure of the company, which means that the role that they play, the dynamic, is not a non-independent role. We will be discussing the commission the control committee don't have made that statement in the report, but we will report it because there are a number of agreements that came out of our process that are important to take into account the fact that all key stakeholders, including business, will have agreed to very different reasons and countries for them to be contingent. In certain other respects, we have been able to reach agreement, and these relate to fundamental concerns of structural grades. And that's the primary position to set the governance in that structure, which is the composed and the main supplement. Our concern to the MEDA process is that we were able to in that they were a predetermined corporate governance model that was presented to me that the document negotiations around possibility of different governance models. And that model was based primarily on the existing model we've got now, which is what is called management-oriented model, which emphasizes and wants to UK enterprise management association over as a mechanism of ensuring accountability and using the support system of that market to get the reward as a way to hold management accountable for shareholders. And expanding on that in more recent times, issues of corporate governance construction, the U.S. has very similar kinds of implications on accountability to shareholders. The emphasis in terms of the U.S. model is combined with management emphasis, management emphasis in the patient health, and uses mechanisms of accounting from shareholders, reporting, and access to information to emphasize providing a broader coverage of the behavior. The outcome is that shareholders may object to obviously divided. Sometimes you would have cases where they still take an objective and they often want to do it, or they are competitive and they are often clear. So you don't necessarily have a situation where shareholders are going to take an active role in using the incentive companies to debate political technology. So this extends moving to page 5. We have looked at models which emphasize stakeholder interest and co-determination, and these are particularly in the EU jurisdiction as well as specifically in Germany. There's a model which is called the co-determination model, which involves a two-tier board structure. The top tier is the advisory board, which is comprised of non-executive members who represent our shareholders, including other stakeholders, and then the supervisory board is a strong source of champion and management board, which is comprised of the executive management. And we are calling for consideration of the structure of this model and other technologies. I think it also depends on the previous or the current model that we call the central plan act. As a transitional measure, also, we refer to the chest which is kind of a the contract. Now, in many cases, workers who work for 50 times a year, not realizing that everything that happens on some cases is coming down to their trade, the customers, but that people don't find out about the market. Even more interesting is that often the least good company to us for the needed handset. So you can't even touch the handset because the company that the other company in the group maintains the security for the app, which we don't have in the handset. So if that company, which is in the shelf, essentially, employs me to run up on the business, but some of them which we think would help as an initial start, we don't think that this would be the cure for the situation, is that where particular individuals are found to have repeatedly set up companies in order to, and if you do, to unravel the so-called proper bail, they should be treated as an operating diocese because essentially they can keep them afloat. So it would also be useful, for example, when a mini company is formed, it would be something of a declaration as to whether or not you've been involved in other companies and recognize them as they've been incubated. And then they could at least reflect a track record of the history of the individual that may be used in the investigation of this type of. We would also emphasize looking at the definition of corporate identity of the definitions of obligations that arise between different companies within the group itself. Moving on to page 10. My first comment relates to clauses 2 and 3 of the code, which regulate the definition of related persons and subsidiary relationships. Here, the complex structure of the construction creates legal obligations. We would see that as being capable of parties to the total definition. So generally, we support the emphasis of and the objectives of these clauses, and particularly sub-clause 2B, which states that we look at how it defines controlling of the ability of something by a person and having the ability to materially influence the quality of that ability of person. So essentially, it means that even though you may not directly be appointed to a particular company, or you may not have the power to vote and share or appoint directors, if you still influence the way the company operates, that should be taken into account in looking at control. And this may be one way of assisting and actually unraveling the corporate bail in relation to management of the company. And moving on to page 11, I'm focusing on performance and liquidity tests. Here we note that clause 4 provides for a solvency and liquidity test, which basically defined means that you would assess a company's assets, you would assess the company's solvency and liquidity, so looking at whether its assets are equal to or exceed its liabilities and if it can actually be able to separate debt as it comes in subsequent 12 months. And the mechanism would provide a proactive way of identifying whether or not the business may be heading towards a situation of financial distress. Because one of the problems with business risk is that you find companies try to enter into that process, first about baseline approach effects when liability has increased over time, that it's very difficult to actually save it. Whereas if they had put it into the business safety process earlier, it would have resulted in being able to be safe. So the solvency and liquidity test is really giving you an objective measure to measure to work out and assess solvency of the company. We do also note with concern that if you look at the original work, the original work provided some notification of shareholders within 10 business days. A list of the failure to comply with the failure to solve the business. So if the company is found to fail that test, you would have to notify shareholders. And our concern about this is that not only once it has been excluded, it was also excluded a particular negative agreement that we reached, which said that when a company fails at promising liquidity test, the notification also is extended to other creditors, as well as to trade unions. And that would be the emphasis would be so that we could at least then make an assessment rather than wait when it's put out online to make an assessment. Another negative agreement which we want to call on the to actually incorporate is the proposal that trade unions should be able to trigger the problems in the political test to enable grants to be that they may be certain financial problems. And how we've linked it is to the failure to pay over employment related amount, whether the salary also in relation to contractual statutory obligations relating to URF or pension contributions or military contributions as well. What we find is that when companies are in financial distress, often the workers' contributions related to URF or the pension as well as employee contributions actually return for the pay on the relevant funds, and it's also the income tax as well. And then it just becomes a way of accessing the so-called industry loan. The fact obviously is not disclosed to workers, and in fact what happened is fraudulently these amounts are reflected on the case statement that have been deducted data. And you'll find that workers may actually go on for lengthy periods of months and sometimes it takes years. For example, URF hasn't dedicated their economy, they haven't followed up and failure to pay over contributions. So we are arguing that these would be sufficient and reasonable grounds that if we alerted to the failure to pay these over and can use to trigger a problem to the failure to pay, and then would actually empower to decide what the best option would be. So moving to page 12, the very decision low support for clause 5-4-B. It states that the LRA should prevail over the company's in addition to other people's legislation, in the event of conflict between the LRA and the division of this court. And this is largely a reflection of the position in section 210 of LRA, which is a general provision stating that this provision should prevail over other people's legislation in the event of conflict. And moving on to provisions dealing with anti-avoidance exemptions and substantial compliance. This one is on page 12. Without support the objective of clause 6, which states that where the intention is to avoid intercompany operations or decisions are aimed at avoiding compliance with so-called unalterable provisions of the Act, then those acts could be declared void and obviously void. But in addition to this, what we would call for is for this principle to be extended to insolvency and labor legislation as well as other legislation. We've noticed, particularly, for example, insolvency legislation that would include other Further, we're concerned that an exemption may be given from the anti-avoidance provision and by the company simplifying to the company conduct. As a countermeasure to ensure that this is not abused, but we would argue for that there should be prior notification of trade unions and stakeholders, which include other creditors, as well as giving them the right to object to the granting of trade unions. And the next provision that we deal with is under sub-clause 10 on compared to certain information. It deals with the general notification requirements. Now, before commenting on the provision itself, we do want to state quite clearly that notification is a very contentious issue for trade unions, because the whole point is that access to information is just ability to act, and the fact that if we notify early enough, then it's more meaningful. We've noted that the bill itself does not contain details of how notification happened, and often it goes to the notice being published to stakeholders or being discussed, which we find problematic, because there were agreements at NAVLAC as well that notification requirements specifically consulted a request to the power companies going on winding up of the company who would be registered here. And that the details we left out, which we negotiated through other sources, like the LRA and informal legislation, actually means that we're compromising those objectives. We would also want to extend our concern in relation to the lack of details around the notification clauses. Lack of details in clause 6.10, and how it relates to mergers, as well as to the business proposals as well. If you move on to page 15, we've actually included the current section C-346, subsection 4, cap 8, as well as 336, cap 8, which deals with notification of applications to winding up. And if you look at the details, the distinction here is that firstly, trade unions have rights to be, because they represent workers to be notified of the owner. Two, there's a specific mechanism and way of actually notifying workers. The notice has to be put up at the workplace, either on premises or definitely available outside the premises, immediately out of the premises. And we're concerned that leaving it out means then that the objective of the original agreement as to how this is what is actually going to be compromised. And we need to be reflected here. In addition to that, on page 16, we would call for the notification of trade unions to serve in head office. And while we did not discuss it specifically in this call, the agreement between all constituencies in relation to the competition, amendment bill, as well as the ongoing discussions with insolvency, and we've now reached consensus that notification has to be served in head office rather than local offices, because there's a tendency to serve in local branch offices that doesn't have the capacity to engage with the process of liquidation of the issues. So we would argue and call and that the condition should be that the notice should go to the head office instead. Okay, moving on to page 16, which deals with the prohibition of reckless trading, as reflected under two of the bills. Generally, we support the objective of the provision, which is to prohibit reckless trading, whether it's associated with fraud, dishonest conduct, or even trading under informal circumstances. And the emphasis, obviously, is on protecting the interests of stakeholders who would be compromised down the line. that the compliance order, which could be issued by the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission to ensure compliance with jurisdiction, only provides for the power to, for it to show cause why it should not be ordered to cease its operations. And while exactly the strongly enforced the condition of 2020 is that if necessary, an instruction of a certain business needs to shut down its activities, this cannot be the automatic order in all cases. And I think we might have included an error. In certain cases, even if it's forced, the idea is to penalize the individuals involved and to kind of wind down the company to kind of result in the commission to empower the commission to provide additional compliance notices, as well as to ensure that the adequate coupled with penalty provisions to ensure that there's an adequate business and relates to the provision related to the office and which relates specifically to some foreign companies. We have concerned that in order for companies to be regulated under this section, we'd have to meet the criteria of conducting a whole range of activities which are listed under Subsection 2. And this would be too onerous and too restrictive. In fact, we would actually have the effect of excluding certain external companies that should fall under the clause. And this would include sometimes actually fairly simple things to ensure that there's adequate reporting mechanisms as well as notification as well. So what we would argue is that rather than compelling all the entire number of activities with agencies to be required to trigger that activity, you'd actually have to have one more of those activities. We're also concerned that there's no mention of entering into a promise contract as an activity that can be considered conducting business. And this is a serious condition. If the company is here in client work, they even stop contracting and even wait for workers that is conducting business, and it should be included as an activity that can be as well. On page 18, focusing on clause 26, which deals with access to company records. Here we note that provision is made for the vice proposed of securities to access and inspect company records. And for all other stakeholders, we'd have to rely on the Constitution and empire. We've already indicated that this is very difficult for us to accept if we're supposed to play an active role in the security process as well as other processes. So we would actually call for an introduction of mechanisms that should allow them to have access to their company records. On page 19, we deal with the question of the annual financial statement. Here again, as we've mentioned previously, the question of the distinction between public and private companies comes in. You'll find that if public companies, which are listed in JSC, are required to produce any financial statements, and where there are exemptions or requirements that a particular private company has to deliver their commitment to any financial statements, it doesn't have to be audited. And we do not agree that this should be We also oppose to the idea that the Intellectual Property Commission will retain a discretion whether or not to issue an administrative notice to a private company to think that it should be an upfront obligation, which looks at particular criteria. An example of this is include looking at the size of the company, turnover, workforce, nature of the facility, and to upfront provide a requirement that certain private companies we don't have to create any financial statements that are audited as well. In the bottom of page 19, page 20, is a very contentious provision relating to the remuneration of directors and senior know here at BCDC, there's concern that obviously BCDC won't apply to private companies and not apply to any financial institutions. So how do you do it? Okay, on page 21, the Commission focuses on access to financial statements or other related information. Here under clause 71, holding the security and the right of access on demand to copy of information statements. And beyond that, without it providing for other stakeholders, there is a provision that only recognizes the right of judgment statements. And in the case of the government, it provides for that case to demand access to financial statements. And I'm unclear why the judgment creditor in this case is not limited to financial statements. And we will argue that it makes sense for the creditor. In fact, other creditors who have saved money in the world will become more interested in saving the money. The judgment creditor will become more interested in saving the money. The Commission may actually have a basis to realize that. So, that's the distinction that doesn't feel to be measured. Then also some of the statements in use of the company and the registration number not built on what we take 2 months. We've already mentioned the problem arising in data, where we should record it in a single company as part of the company. And where we find out now, part 4.32.1 says that a company is required to provide on demand data to the full name and number to information. And it should not be mistaken. While we support this provision, we don't think it's possible. One reason we need to have some consideration. People need to know what the contract is with the company to the other contract. We find that within the group of companies, they include the company. Furthermore, your argument is that it needs to be disclosed to trade unions and employees if the ownership of the assets of the company is transferred to be given by another company. We believe that the disclosure of the information may actually be able to give us a chance to take the decision to be passed if they feel the danger. In relation to clause 45, on non-financial considerations, we are coming to the same as mutual. We are, however, in addition, calling for the treatment of monetary value on taxation loans and companies. In the ordinary case, the regular direction of taxation, they are employment contracts and subcontracts to regulate the financial system. And it makes more sense in the context rather than an individual who has been appointed to act on the top of government for the board. And I think that it's controversial to say that we are access to not the assets in the country. And that is the proposal of the issue of the law as well as the use of identifying relationships with the agency. We only dealt with the subject of work and the commission. Moving on to page 22, it relates to the individuality and qualification of the director. We note and support the general grounds for qualification, which include, amongst others, where subjects can be used in the context of public or independent of the country, or where we're in prison, we're convicted of notwithstanding the significance, from our experience, we find that directors are often allowed to put in board in cases where only fines are there. And so, for example, if there wasn't an offering in Britain, then it happened in Britain. So, we haven't been able to find the point in the current flow of the legal states that if you are fine and minimum subscribed amount, then you can use it. So, the reality is waiting for regulations to get implications. In addition to that, in addition to legislation, we would also argue that where there is an easy time to think of ways to study education, labor education, and job education, we should also have to look in the book. And further, and this is an argument for being able to hear that, on competition, is that where the month, where this the continuous constitutional conviction in terms of competition, which is also included in the demand of competition. We go on to the example of the virus and the human the impact, the social impact of all the achievement of this person who has been seen. Context, clinical submission deals with the delicate identification and this is to prohibit companies from paying or indemnifying a director or take out insurance where a director has chosen and not acted in accordance with provincial ministry and the misconduct of himself in relation to the program. On the again, I'm not going to detail the
Thank you.
comes from the department that has the pay cost in and cut down. Could we kindly close the door? You are either in or you are out. Remember what George Bush said. You are either with us or against us. We are trying to extract some oil from Qatar.
Regarding about whether or not notices go to headquarters and unions and branches. We don't have a problem. Sometimes we probably support the idea of going to both places, both the headquarters as well as the branch. But businesses have to become involved. On the question of speed, we were agreed that speed is necessary. But often we find that businesses tend to be wanting meaningful. Now, with business rescue, there's nothing in terms of the current mechanism where people can adopt certain formal mechanisms to try and save the business. The idea is to act way before you in a financial crisis. But when a business is liquidated, you find that it is operating under difficult circumstances for a very long period of time. And to try and save the business at the end of the process, and to compromise your business. So the question of speed needs to look at more realistically. You can't, at the end of the day, operate a business on an informal basis. The years and then come to us now actually do it is not actually well compromising in organization with the attention packages. Of course we're gonna take a hard line. We knew about the certain funds, you have a financial intention, we don't. Now even if you show creditors like the bank actually having been and continue lending. I mean it's important to make sure they continue lending despite that. Because they know they're gonna be extend securities and the assets. So the rest of the speed, you look at the dynamics of the role here, and I think also the importance of the bank is because banks have access to information, and but they protect this, they don't operate with that. On the redrafting, there's a call for relation to 144 plus 4, which relates to your medical aid and your pension and your claim. I thought there were two questions, one of the clarity and one as to how to redraft. I thought it was a very clarity question. When you look at Section 98A of the Employment Act, never mention the training to even the application and step in government to the budget. And in response to the IRA convention. What about the grant to categories and says that claims of use will be addressed in the order of care in terms of certain public? The first topic is the remuneration thing, which relates to the pay, holiday pay, salary, and and then the next category in terms of bank is the one that relates to contributions in the sovereign fund and the funding of the banking debt. So by thinking that it will resolve in that bank, it immediately skips the society and resolves the banking issue. Now we could, in redrafting, fund it to some of 98A, and then we can say, the first topic is in the second topic. The amendment may, even though medical aid in part is adopted under 144, it might be more appropriate to deal with amendments and ranking under 135 and remove that reference to the medical aid under 144 and deal with it under 145 subjective aid. And we as we mentioned, the important so the remuneration can be adopted first in rank. On the question Because if the policy wants to ensure that the operator in the tendency, you want to restrict the time period to which the individual or the firm may serve the company. So, in this case, if they're not known in 5 years, because if there's a field that's in the stock, it actually creates a relationship with me in five. So we say the 5 years is too long. So we would want to change the in addition to that, we say that if you have a maximum period that an audit service provides services for companies, but not just include the auditing service, they also provide other services which are not auditing. Sometimes they get involved in terms of providing information, important services on construction and business and those kinds of things. So essentially, by doing that, there's a bring the relationship closer. So if you're trying to get the fact that over time period, as people are going to get closer in terms of the services that they're not given, essentially it's that you have to get the fact that they are the services that you can get and it's not just what you get.
Thank you.
Thank you for your answering. However, I think that if we have a middle bit, you know, I think we're not in the same page, right? You're talking about, I agree with you, the street, you know, that is when you do the little bit, it's different story, but we are talking about risky. Middle risk to the street must be there, right? I think that if the chapter 6 is for the risk to the company, if you risk the company, you have to be the street, right? And I mean, in America, they have chapter 11 and chapter 7. Before, chapter 11 it is risky. But chapter 7 is to liberate the company. So, you know, if when we are going to rescue the company, we, the spirit must be there. That's what I'm saying. All right? Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. The reference has been made to decriminalization in quite a few contexts. And that involves the partners who are quite a few. What was the support decriminalization in the extent which we do that? Make the best balance in the that one needs, you know, outside criminal. All this to be defined as criminal offenses. When it comes to the French criminal government, some of their fairness is lost. I think that depending on how I was depending on the man, I tell you that all my partner was from eight to there. Now, if I think in that area that I was depending on, and that's what I think for. That is making an example of linking management performance and remuneration to the green team. And the time to use the central that higher performance. My question is, will there be any alternative approach that the proposal of a court determination model when it comes to the TK board structure, now the colleague on that is very helpful about this issue. Part of the operation they have, but it seems definitely because it brings a new practice, a new model, a new culture. Safe to say that that can help us with regards to the transition. Where it should be taken on board, what is the growth of transition and what is the part of the change to the transition and still on this. Telling social and ethics committee to compare the state of the question and relevant to the rules relevant to the community. Top company, special for some of the I think these two are definitely from the board support in the idea of declaration of the support for each director. And if they need to be quite appropriately in the constituency of human management because of the impact of the in the reasons behind that.
look at the notification, one assumes that the certificate of notification of the department should be just in the fine question, but the question to be referring to, you know, kind of things. If the person has helped us, you know, people have said that, like, why has this, or the requirement registration of external company, local. And therefore, disclosure will play a valuable function. And I trust you will be also having a lot of the study problem. Because there is a submission here by Tina Lecturer, IS, from NISA, who argues very strongly for a broken definition of a company. A definition that goes beyond. That came into mind, and across the book that the only that was born, would it be too specific and maybe to specific mention to me about the involvement of perfection and stuff, but then you explore the part of the business of the institution. So, just part of the institution, what has had perfection and stuff like that has done up to now. So that is calling for a giant supervision or a giant supervisor to be appointed as a process in the final of the service. But a small thing there, what about the other issues of process, they would also fight for the same output of the product that would have been handled.
Thank you very much. Starting to think of Comrade Hartman is lunch. Dr. Okay, just a quick point. The submission by the PIC, which I just said, that the South African Civil Court argues that the directors must act in the best interest of the company only. PIC then goes on to argue that we should perhaps pursue a more liberal interpretation because some directors may also be representing other companies and therefore they have to take account of their own company. So PIC says we must follow the more liberal. Now the point about that is that if the law says that the directors of a company must quote act in the best interest of the company only, then many of the arguments that we're advancing about workers' rights and so on become problematic. Because you're arguing that the directors, as I would support, directors have to take account of other interests than the company only. But, you know, you've been arguing all day about that. So I think we should ask the department or yourself to clarify. What does the South African law say? How does it impact on your submission? And on the desirability of public interest, which is also in the memorandum of the bill. So that's my first point. It seems quite a tricky area that I've just sort of spotted. Secondly, this morning's business day,
before you go to the business day, we have the office of the state law advisor. So if you could kindly note that for an colleague, likewise.
Thank you.
This morning's business day says that the JSE is requiring more stringent accounting by auditors. Clearly, they are not happy with the current provision. And I think that it's worth looking at that because it reflects on your attitude to the audit committee, also mine, that the audit committee cannot be so reliant on the audit committee alone, etc. My last point is about the participation of workers in the industry or in the firm or the enterprise. This is a very big issue, Chair, internationally. And we quote Germany here. You know, years ago, the unions in Germany fought a tremendous battle for rights to participate on boards and so on and so on. I wish we had more time to look at that because it is a fundamental question. And it bears very much on the Kostas' statement, which I also endorse, that we do require a more progressive legislative framework than mere efficiency of corporations. There is the whole area of public interest. Oh, there is a question, sorry. Would you, in your statement, you say that you refer to communities and workers in the Social and Ethics Committee. Now, I've been asking the question for some days. Is it possible to create a loop in the system
which were public interest issues, like environment, would be taken account of. I don't know what the answer is, but it seems to me you seem to be suggesting that on social ethics, and I would add environmental issues, you want the community and the workers to be involved or consulted, some such phrase. Would you be able to give us more flesh on how would the wider public interest be taken care of in what is essentially a loop outside of the relationship between the auditors and the Act and companies? I don't know if that's asking too much. Thank you, sir.
With regards to the inclusion of such things, what is the mark of the council to have the requirements to avoid the argument of approving or approving any type of requirements scheme? And one thing that the council says that outside, when it comes to credit, I see the sums which can be attempted there. Who then becomes the cause, or who then becomes the number of the
thank you. Your time for a return to member to the study.
And then the second mechanism of solidarity involves where it's not the company who's involved in business, it's not the company's decision, it's other than business. So essentially, the target is creditors, and the only creditors are going to invest any effort into investing in the business company giving them the money to work with the company. So the role of the core process, obviously, going to court is because you are not being engaged in certain policy businesses which you promote. So that's a provided the court mechanism. I think you could speed up the court process to provide additional mechanisms where it's more urgent process. But for us, it's not a speed so much as the fact that once you provide the right process to court, you haven't provided us with the necessary capacity to successfully apply for a business safety process. Which is one, the court must know that it's a substantive and two, that it should not be included if it's capable of being fixed. trouble, then obviously we'd be involved in some very serious economic outcomes in terms of but as long as we have the kind of model where we are outside decision making process, on the question of decriminalization, and we are very critical because decriminalization tends to be an argument that is not because it only operates in some context, in some context. So we don't want to see people who wear white colors are hard to enter our business situations, etc. And we see if they are engaged in important activities. So we say we should know that we start making use of rehabilitation and limiting the sense of the brand and all that. Regarding the management orientated model and how that the shift towards the changing workers to increase profit. In terms of how the structure is, there's little we can do is get the policy information. So one of the that's the argument is that we could provide for an explicit mechanism that takes into consideration the interest. Then we cannot just in the interest of profit and change. We have to consider profit for one of other interests as well. So I think it's difficult for us to other mechanisms to come to that effect to say we need information, we need skills that we can come to serve as well. In their negotiations, and sometimes tell us we've got no money, and then they say, that is how the reality of the negotiations. So, information in some ways will actually help us say something like that. And I think just generally, it is in public interest, because. When you have proposals that say that they need to make the embarking in particular certain forms of behavior, and then you can tell them certain things to include certain mechanisms, whether it's in terms of ladies or whatever, and then you can use sufficient time, but doesn't necessarily always relate to workers, because it's broader, especially because, for example, it's an important thing, it doesn't necessarily relate to workers in the same problem. The distinction between public and private companies, I think, is certainly a specific to us for differences to the both. Thank you. Thank you. comes to work in India, we have a mega course called the Virtue of India. Simply because we're hoping that more progressive work to stay. And particularly in the end, we're hoping to have by workers or profits or smaller players within the facilitator system. Requirements that you ask for a joint portal and a supervisor, you are mostly based on the proposal based on our experience with this year. We find that we actually have common experience and we can talk to us on the first year. And it's not just a question of saying that we want to shift the mindset away from retention and change in working conditions, trying to find a buyer or trying to find a contract. We're also looking at the books in the way that this has been introduced. So, for example, the report that we elected about is the fifth contribution for and we find that there is a challenge system and liquidators. We will normally have a number of liquidators to operate jointly, and something will not have to do the work, but we will all get the same resource. So the monitoring group will operate and we will basically determine how the liquidation will happen. And we found in one of the cases where the liquidators have investigated the security of the same. So you can see that this whole question of methodology and looking at the financial records is what we require at that time. So the whole idea is that if you have to tell some choices, the different things that you get to one of the reasons that probably is the situation for the moment of the student, it tends to be compliant in terms of we can value of these requests on a case-by-case basis, on the company, given the size and the activities and location of the operation as well. As well as where effort has been, if the effect of this business has impact also. On the question of the difference between secured and unsecured creditors, so the secured creditor is normally your bank. So you make a company for the mortgage and the bond, the bank holds the credit of your home or your car, that's what you deserve. And the only one is the credit over that asset. So it means that any decision in relation to that asset will have to get concurrent performance of security. So, the sales team, in that case, for example, in the business, would be self-assisted with equipment or whatever, vehicle control, or decisions around those things, which then be determined in the market decisions beyond that. The lending to the security is up to a certain amount, they have additional claims that exceed the security. So if you have claims, they have to exceed the unsecured. With unsecured claims, there are two categories of unsecured claims. There's your preferred category, which is your workers' claims. Below that, there are other ranks of preferred categories, and we've been defined as well, which is the preferred claims below the and then once you've dealt with the preferred claims in the bank that will come in, you've got to deal with those claims. If there's money left over, then you move on to the next claim, for example. Then you've got what you call compiling claims, which have no credit. So that's a second level of unsecured claims. So that in terms of insolvency legislation, this still doesn't make difference to those claims. But it wasn't an important equipment and they haven't defined it. And I think it might be useful to define the relationship between the definition of the insolvency and the security. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As Murphy's Law would have exhaustion, I said, no, no, this law we have is when our question was question was answered, that you answered yes, then. Okay. Good folks, is there any other question or comment? There's none. In terms of Ms. Governor, thank you very much for your input. Absolutely, that we learned that you test and your levels to do for a very long time. So thanks for taking us through your input. We've got the representative members and the Department of Your Exchange for the English. Unfortunately, we can't go beyond this. Can't even ask for any comments from the Department. There's only a scheduled time until 1 o'clock before we prepare for the business of the house. So, in the best interest of what we seek to do yet, it is only prepared to give the department time to prepare the submission. And also tremendous relief. We'll come back on Friday. Friday at 9 a.m. to see how we can take the process. I doubt if we will exhaust everything that we need to do on Friday. But we'll see how far we can go. So, remember, I will be very happy to see you on Friday. I tell them I have none. But in all fairness, I must say, members have been very dedicated to the whole process. I have not had the difficulty that other chapters of other committees have, having to beg, plead, borrow for members to come and I'm not sure about pride. I'm a very poor man, so I can't drive anyone. So I'd just like to remind us, we will be here on Friday. And stakeholders, we have stayed the course thus far. You are also welcome to join us on Friday. And last but not least, the fourth estate, right in the corner where you have not. Also welcome. Is that micro enterprise or survivalist depending on the street corner about security on the territory? Lunch should be on the way.